I can tell you that I feel like Chuck Berry. Woo! I feel good. And you probably want to know why. Well, this morning I was able to go into my closet and put on a pair of pants that did not have the elastic stretch band on them. All right, and there's a reason for that. I've been exercising more. And there's a reason for that. Because my health wasn't that good. And anyway, I'm going to tell this to you because it kind of fits in with the lesson this morning. And it's something we all know. Every one of us in the bottom of our mind know that if we take care of ourselves, our bodies are going to perform a lot better. We just know that. But a lot of times we just don't do it. A while back, we got an exercise machine for Candy to use, and she never got on it. I tried it a couple times, and it basically became a sweater closet and a pillow closet and a place to lay the blankets, and it sat there for a long time like that. But anyway, I had a doctor's appointment in early January, and he suggested that getting out once a week and walking with Fred wasn't going to cut it. If I wanted to improve myself, I had to do more. So eventually, after a while, I took the sweaters off that machine and the blankets and the pillows off of it, and I got on it, and I started exercising. You know, it's one of those that, you know, you do the CrossFit and all this stuff like this. And, man, I was going after that, and after 35 seconds, I just had to stop. I had to stop because I was wasted, and I had to go lay down. It was that bad. And I said, I ain't going to do that no more. But anyway, a few weeks later, I said, well, I'm going to try it again. I made it 45 seconds at that time. But if you keep working at something and keep doing to try it good, it's going to get better. It's going to be something that's easier for you to do. And right now I can tell you I do it for 15 minutes twice a day now. So I'm doing good. I was able to step on the scales and it did not start off with a 2 for a while. So I feel good about that. Another thing happened this week is the fact that I had some episodes with my blood sugar. And I mentioned this Wednesday night, but you know, when blood sugar gets down below 50, it's very serious. And that happened to me several times. When it gets down below 20, it's very dangerous. And I came close to that one night. So I called my doctor. We talked about it. And we have determined that I'm taking too much insulin. So I'm getting off the insulin. And so that's another reason I feel good. I don't have to poke myself all the time and won't have to be injecting myself with insulin. And, of course, I attribute that to the fact that I've been exercising. And I've been developing my body for the endurance. I still take Fred for a walk all the time, and our walks are getting longer, and Fred really enjoys it, so we do that. But that's going to play into our lesson, because what we're talking about is the prescription for spiritual health. And physically and spiritually, I ask you, what is your health condition? Now, a lot of you, all you have to do is look in the mirror and say, I got a lot of work to do. A lot of you need to do that. Some of you don't have mirrors in your house because you know what you're going to see, so you just cover those up, or at least the majority of those mirrors. And you know, you absolutely know if I got out and just started walking a mile every day, you know what that would do for everything in your body? It would improve it. It would improve your cardiovascular system. It would improve your digestion. Everything about you would improve. Even the way you feel about yourself would improve. And we know that physically, we do the right things and we're going to feel good. Now, spiritually, it works the same way. When we ask, how is your spiritual health? I mean, some of you can probably say it's in pretty poor shape if you're honest with yourself. Now a lot of people just, I'm okay, I'm fine. I don't have to worry about that. But what we're going to learn is that the needs of both your physical health and your spiritual health are very much alike. They still require effort on our part to take care of it. So let's look at that. When we talk about our spiritual health, spiritual vitality and strength are attained only through effort. And just like I say, now a lot of people, the most exercise they get is walking from the couch to the refrigerator and walking back. That's about the extent of it. They have these little things called remote controls. They don't even have to get up to change channels anymore. That is so convenient. It is so easy. But it's not good for us. Just like physical health requires a proactive approach to our wellness, look at it this way. What is needed to maintain a good level of spiritual health? Well, it's very much the same thing. All right, as we go, I'm not a doctor. I've seen plenty of doctors. I know some of you have seen a lot of doctors. You're on a first name basis with them. You know the names of their kids and their wife, and you've spent a lot of time around there. Now, I'm not really that kind of crazy to be around doctors. When I first got Kaiser, I told the doctor, no offense, but I don't want to see you no more. So I told her that. So now all of our appointments are through phone conversations. But anyway, I'm not a doctor, and I don't pretend to be a doctor. But like anybody who's been through health issues, they know something about it. And a lot of times they've researched some of these things, and they hear somebody else talking about it. They, okay, I'm familiar with that. I can offer some suggestions. And so that happens. But just a few common sense approaches will lead us in the right direction. So we're going to see if we can come up with a prescription for our spiritual health. And they both require the following: a strong immune system. And that's something that a lot of times we are lacking. And if we're always getting colds and coughs and the flu and aches and pains, it's because our immune system has been compromised. It is not as strong as it used to be. And it all comes back to, a lot of it, our physical activity. And in the case of our spiritual life, our spiritual activity. You know, just getting 1 hour of exercise a week is not going to help your body any at all. When we think of spiritual exercise, you get 1 hour a week in communicating with God. What's that going to do for your spiritual? You're going nowhere. You're going the wrong direction is what's happening. A strong immune system wards off disease because the body is prepared. The body has all the different parts working in it. Another thing I was happy about this week, I had to get some blood work done, and they checked 8 categories. 7 of those categories, I was in the normal range, where a few months ago I was not. My A1C has dropped a whole point since the last time I had it checked. And I'm really excited about that, because I think, personally, I feel like I'm heading in the right direction. Alright, so a good immune system comes from being healthy. A good cardiovascular system. Eating the right kind of food is going to do that. And that's one of our prescriptions we're going to talk about. Intake of the right kind of food. So without a healthy immune system, relatively small threats can be deadly. It's like that AIDS, which basically is autoimmune disease, where it basically keeps the body from warding off diseases. And that's why so many people die. They don't die from something that might be major. They die from a little infection. They die from a little common cold flu or something like that. It's because their health, their immune system is not strong to ward it off. So, spiritually, how strong is our ability to withstand threats like temptation? I mean, we have to be there. We have to withstand temptation. And we know. We face it every day. Every time we turn on the TV, we're faced with temptation. Every time we get around other people or people of this world, we're faced with temptation either to talk like them or act like them or behave like them. I mean, so that's the problem. Can we withstand false teaching? A lot of people couldn't tell you. If a preacher got up here and told you a lie, a lot of people wouldn't even know it. And of course, the fear of persecution keeps us, a lot of times, keeps us with our mouth quiet when it should speak up. Because we're afraid of people picking on us. We're afraid of people making fun of us. We're afraid that somebody is going to harm us. In some parts of this world, that fear is a reality. And we see it all the time if we watch the news. Why are some of these people being beheaded? Because of their faith. Some people are being tortured because of their faith. And we see that taking place in other parts of the world. And maybe we fail to see it's taking place in our country as well. When we stop and say, wait, God doesn't like abortion. Oh no, we're horrible people for saying that's wrong. Alright, so persecution is another thing that we need to be ready to handle. To face the inevitable, we have to be ready. Temptation and spiritual hardships are inevitable. They're going to happen. And we can't live in a bubble. We cannot hide ourselves from this. We cannot put on all that protective gear and protect ourselves from spiritual hardships. It's not going to happen. See, going out of the world to avoid all contact with temptation is not possible unless you put a bullet in your head. Okay? Or you cease your life some other way. That's the only way you're going to get out of that. Or at least most of the world feels that way. There is a solution. We will be discussing that solution. See, John 17, 15, 1 Corinthians 5, 9 and 10, 1 John 5, 18. All these things that are taking place, it's really upon us. We have to draw strength from our Lord. We have to draw strength from Christ. We have to put Him first in all things. And we have to get rid of the problems that there are. Because Jesus said there will be problems. When those people are standing up for the truth, when we're standing up for Christ, there's going to be problems. We saw it back in the first century through history. How members of the church were persecuted, how they were killed many times just because they believed in the Christ. In our world today, many people die because of their faith in Christ. And if we don't get the problems out of our lives, we're going to be suffering the same kind of death. See, spiritually speaking, we need to build up our resistance. And we talk about that. We talk about building up our resistance health-wise. We do it by getting stronger, by doing more exercise, by eating the right kind of food, and we get healthier. Now, it used to be every year I got sick. And it would last a while. A couple of years ago, I got sick and it lasted almost 3 months. Y'all remember that. I had a lot of coughing problems, even missed church one time because I was just constantly coughing. But as we develop ourselves, we build ourselves up and we can start resisting things. And the Bible tells us to resist things. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Paul told Timothy, resist temptation. So, with a strong immune system, several things are going to happen for us. We will be able to take heed lest we fall. We read that in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. Take heed lest you fall. In other words, be careful. You got to watch out. You got to pay attention. We'll be able to live circumspectly. We'll know what's going on around us. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17, when it says, walk circumspectly. In other words, you watch and pay attention what's going on around you. We see these people walking around the streets with their cell phones. And whoop, they go down.
They're doing this, or they walk right on the pathway of a car because their focus is on their cell phone.
We see that all the time, and we laugh about it. It'll be funny until it happens to you. But we got to pay attention to what's going on around us. And if you got to be on your cell phone, sit down or stop and stand against the wall or whatever, but trying to function in different ways. Of course, how you like driving down the highway and you look over and this other person just doing this. And there's traffic up ahead. How do you feel about that? What are they going to do? They may turn into me. So it's scary when people do that. We'll be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. Why? Because we'll have the right protection. Ephesians 6, 10 through 11 says, put on the whole armor of God so that you can withstand all the fiery darts and missiles of the devil. So we can be prepared to withstand these things. And that comes from the armor of God that he gives us. And it will all contribute to a strong immune system. And in order to do that, it requires certain things on our part. Regular exercise. I imagine for some of you, that's a bad word. You don't want to hear something like that. Or you don't like your doctor who tells you something like that. I know someone who, anytime the doctor said you need to exercise, they never went back. And that's probably describing a whole lot of people. But we thrive only when we're active. You know, a lot of these diseases, they can stay dormant in the body for a long time. And then all of a sudden, something might trigger it. And boom, it comes back and gets you. And it's scary when that happens. But that's the way diseases are. Something's got to activate it. A lot of things we talked about. We talked in class about water and flour mixing together. Yeah, because they change each other. But water and oil, they don't react with each other. And you can't mix them up. It doesn't work. It separates. But when you put them together, something activates. And it causes a change, which is supposed to happen to us. As we read the Word of God, it is supposed to change us as we take it in. A lot of times we just read the words and don't even get the message. We cannot do that. So this is true spiritually as well as physically. We need to be active, doing things. There is a danger of becoming spiritually sluggish. And we know what the danger is. If you're physically sluggish, we know the danger there. Everybody in this room can tell you what the danger is. Maybe except the little ones. They probably couldn't explain it. But the rest of us, we know what happens if we're spiritually sluggish, physically sluggish. It's not good. Hebrews 6. He tells us what we got to do. We got to work on this stuff. You got to have your senses exercised to discern between good and evil, right? Yeah, we do that. He said that back in chapter 5. Now in chapter 6, he says, you know what? We got high expectations of you. The writer was talking to these people and just talked about all the promises of Christ and developing yourself from being spiritually immature into a mature individual. And then, as you do that, the writer says, we've got high expectations of you. We know you can do a lot. And that's what God says to each and every one of us. We all have the potential. We all have the ability if we would just use it. We have the potential to help people see the truth and see the light and to come to the Lord. We have that, all of us have that potential. A lot of times we're just sluggish and we don't apply it. So there is a necessity for spiritual activity. And this involves more than just going to church. Some people think they act and behave like if they get to church 1 hour of the week, hey, they're doing good. They think somehow, do I get my gold star on my name, next to my name? I mean, they used to do that for the kids in classes. But you really don't see any boards back there with your name on it that you get a star for being here. See, we all have been created to walk in good works. That's what we're supposed to be doing. How many of us are doing that, though? We look at this, Ephesians 2:10. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works, that we should walk in them. We have a job to do. God wants us to do a job, and He's expecting us to do that. And a lot of times we just slough it off. Well, let the preacher do that. Or let somebody else do that. Let somebody else be nice to these people for a change. Let somebody else. And that's the problem. There is work to be done. There's a lot of work to be done. And we need to recognize that. Titus 3 talks about that work. We got to be involved in that. See, verses 8 and verse 14. See, verse 8 says, "This is a trustworthy statement, and concerning these things I want to speak confidently, so that those who have believed God may be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men." In verse 14, the writer says, "Let our people also learn to engage in good deeds to meet pressing needs, that they may not be unfruitful." See that word, unfruitful? We had a lesson about that last year. Bearing fruit. If we don't bear fruit for God, we are unfruitful. And what happened to the bush that was unfruitful? Cut it down and cast it into the fire, is what the Lord said. The Lord cursed the fig tree because there was no fruit on it. It was unfruitful. He says, "I don't need that." The landowner says, pull up that plant. Get it out of here. It's not doing me any good. It's just taking up space. It's taking up ground. But the husbandman said, "Let me work with it. Let me put some fertilizer around it and till the ground around it. If it produces fruit, okay, we have what we need. But if it doesn't, we'll cut it down. Discard it." A lot of people think that their salvation is just a free gift from God and they sit back and enjoy it. But the reason we were saved in order to serve. A lot of people don't like that concept. They don't, or at least they act like they don't like that concept. We were saved to be served, or to serve others, I should say. Matthew 20, 27, 28, talking about that. Serving others, doing for others, helping others, walking with others, encouraging others. As we read all those one another passages, to love one another and encourage one another and chastise one another when it's needed. And all of those things. That's what we need to be doing. See, each of us individually has work to do. It's not just, okay, throw it all on the shoulders of the church at large. And then who ends up doing that? See, we all say, "Oh, we're all the church, but let's let the church do it." And what that means is let the preacher do it. Or let somebody else do it who usually gets involved. Just leave us alone. Let us do our own thing. We had a lesson about that a few weeks ago, didn't we? Do your own thing? Yeah. Some passages you can look up to cover this. 1 Corinthians 12, 6, 7, and 18. Very important messages because the Holy Spirit has given us work to do. He talked about the work He gave them. Of course, they had special gifts, which we don't have today because those gifts have ceased. But we're to apply ourselves. Whatever gift we do have, we've got to apply it. Just like Paul told Timothy, "And what the gift you have received, what do you do with it?" "Oh, sit down, appreciate. Thank you, Lord. I've got this gift of salvation." You gonna sit back and do nothing? No. You gotta do something with this. And so we each need to exercise ourselves into godliness. See 1 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8. Get back there. It says, "But have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for Yeah, I'm in the right one. All right, but have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. So that's why we need to do that. Yes, physical exercise, we know we'd feel a whole lot better if we would do that. If we would keep our bodies in good shape, if we would keep feeding our bodies the right material, we'd be in much better shape. We would feel good about ourselves more. We wouldn't be moping around. How do you feel? I'm okay. That's very convincing, isn't it? But when you feel good about yourself, it shows. See, we must work while there is time and opportunity, because we don't know what our time is. Our time is running out. Every one of us, our time is running out. We don't know when the Lord's going to come back. Peter tells us, knowing the fact that it's going to come back suddenly, what kind of persons ought you to be in your conduct? Yeah, we need to be holy and spiritual all the time, because we don't know what that time is. James wrote that our life is but a vapor, and we don't know what the next day holds. Don't say we're going to go somewhere and do something tomorrow. We're not promised tomorrow. And we know plenty of people who we were expecting to go a long time, and they're no longer with us. We have to be aware of this. We have to be treating others the way we should be. We should be doing good things for others. Galatians 6:9 kind of comes under that. It's what we should be doing, not only for ourselves spiritually, but helping others along as we go through this. Now, we can work most effectively within the framework of the local congregation. And that's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way God designed it. We can be very effective in doing this. But if you're not participating, how does it benefit you? Think about that. If you're not participating, how are you benefited by this? There's only one right answer. You may not be willing to give that answer, but if you're honest, you will. See, fulfilling the needed roles in evangelism, edification, and benevolence. Edification, that just basically means building each other up in the faith. And that's something every one of us is supposed to do. It might be just something as simple as giving a little word of encouragement. Sometimes it might be more by offering a shoulder for someone to cry upon, or an ear to listen. Doesn't really take a lot, but we've got to be doing something. And when we talk about evangelism, first of all, our life needs to be a sermon in itself. When we walk and we talk with those people of the world, they've got to see something different in us. And that's how we're going to evangelize. If we're acting just like them and talking just like them, how are they going to listen to us when we say, you need to change your life? Oh, really? We'll come across as hypocrites, won't we? And taking care of others. We need to do that. And this includes our personal work by maybe teaching Bible classes, ministering to the sick. You know, some people get sick. You get them a phone call. Hi, how you doing? If there's anything I can do for you, just let me know. Click. What have you done for that person? Now, if they call you right back, can you come wash my dishes? What are you going to do? You kind of put yourself in that spot. But honestly, you probably didn't want to do it anyway, did you? Some of this congregation have no problem doing that. While there is much work to do and work is conducive to spiritual health, There's other things that are conducive to our spiritual health. We do need periodic rest from time to time. We know there's a bunch of people who just keep going and going and going, and they're dragging, they're stressed out, and take a break. Well, I can't, there's too much to do. We know those type of people, and we love them to death. But there's times when you do need a break. You need a break from the routine. You know, when I'm doing my studying and stuff like that, I may sit at the computer for hours upon hours. But you know what? I got to get up and move. I got to get up and do something. Otherwise, that's not good for me. And luckily, Fred comes in and says, I need to go out. And I get up and walk to the door and let him out. And then sometimes I have to, go get a sandwich or get something to snack on, get some refill on my drink or something, whatever I need. But just sitting there hour upon hour, and then you try and get up, the pain. And you hear all that Rice Krispie sound, you know, the snap, crackle, pop when you stand up. You get that too. We do need rest from time to time. And we need to be able to rest at various times. We need energies and resources. They always need replenishing. We know that. You put gas in your car and you drive it 400 miles, what do you got to do? Oh, it'll get me home. No. You got to put more gas in that car. All right, when much productive work has been done, we need rejuvenation to continue. And that's sometimes all it takes. Sometimes, you go in and prop your feet up and get a 10-15 minute nap, you're ready to go for the next few hours. And it's just a little rejuvenation. Have we ever thought about doing that with the Bible? You go through your daily routine, just stop. Let me go read a little Bible. Did you know that also can rejuvenate your soul and your spirit? Time to time when you're working, you have to stop and sharpen the saw. Especially if you're trying to clear out trees and blown down by a hurricane, the saw gets dull after a few hours. You have to stop and file it down. Otherwise, what happens? We become exhausted and we suffer burnout. And probably a lot of us have said on numerous occasions, I'm just burned out. I don't feel like doing anything anymore. See, periods of retreat characterized the Lord's ministry. You notice that? Peter said the Lord went about doing good. But we also know in Mark 6, 30 and 31, he just sat down. Let's relax. We've got another town to go to, but let's sit down and relax. Let's talk a while. Let's refresh ourselves. See, we're made such that we need some downtime every now and then. See, that's why they have a halftime in football, and that's why they have timeouts. Catch their breath and maybe get some Gatorade down them so they can be ready to continue in the game. And then there's times of just getting away. We used to go out there. There's a state park down in Texas that had a bunch of lakes and had alligators in the lakes, and they had walking trails all through those things. And what we didn't have were telephones, the noise of traffic, and all the hustle and bustle of the world. You sat there, you sit down under a tree, and the noise would be so deafening, all those birds just chirping away. When was the last time you just stopped and listened to the birds? Now, I got about 6 geese that fly over my house every morning, so I hear the honk, honk, honks. But periods of solitude are something we need. We can meditate, reflect, and rest. And when you're out there in God's creation, who are you going to think about? You're going to think about God. Or you should. See, we function best when we alternate work and rest. That's why it's really good to work so many hours and be off so many hours. In some professions, they require that. Truck drivers. John has to fill out a driver's log all the time. And if he gets off work, he cannot come back for 8 hours. 8 hours. Now, what he does in that 8 hours, that's really up to him. If he wants to go party or whatever, that he can do that. If he wants to go home, get some sleep, he probably does that. But if the person who doesn't sleep, they party, then all of a sudden, they have another 12-hour shift of driving down the road. How many of you get tired after driving just a little while? Okay, so yes, that's why in that profession it is required. Pilots are under a hours of service restriction as well, because they have a lot of lives in their hands. Spiritually as well as physically, the Lord designed us to function best within the round of cycles and seasons that alternate between work and rest. That's when we get there. When we do our work, when we take our periods of rest and downtime, don't take too much downtime because the work won't get done. But we know the Lord himself took time to be alone. And we read several places where he left his disciples behind and went off a distance to pray. He had some downtime. He spent time alone and talking to his God. And we need to also, Mark 1:35, Luke 5:16, this is what the Lord did. And when we will do that, we will be better prepared to face what this world has to throw at us. See, spiritual rest doesn't mean doing nothing. And that's what some people get this idea. Well, I need a break from those people at church. You only come 1 hour a week. That's 167 hours break from them. And you say you need a break from them? I tell you what, there's not a better group of people to be around than these people right in this room. Nowhere. People of this world do not offer what the people in this room offer. And you want to spend time away from them? Check your priorities. See, it means doing something different that will refresh and restore our energy for work. Like I say, we might be busy working and typing and writing and studying and stuff like that. But I need to go get some energy. I need to eat an orange. I need to drink some tea or some coffee or something. We've got to do something different just to break the routine. And it also allows us time for quiet prayer and Bible study. And sometimes we need to release the anxiety and just sit back and enjoy the peace of Christ. Just sit in your chair and think about Christ and what he's done for you. Think about that for 5 or 10 minutes. And then wake up and check your attitude. It'll be different. See, Philippians 4, 6, and 7 talks about, don't be anxious for anything. Don't worry about things. Take your moments. Take your breaks. Because what it will give you says the peace that passes all understanding. The peace that no human being by themselves can acquire. The peace that the world does not know. But when you put your faith and trust in Christ, there is that inner peace that you have. The solitude of knowing that you're doing something for God. That's what he expects of us. And that's what we can do. We feed our minds with things of virtue and good report. And sometimes we have to take drastic measures. If we realize we got a problem, what do? All right, turn off the TV. Stop listening to certain radio stations. Think about things, godly things. Philippians 4, 8, whatever is good, whatever is honorable, whatever is of good report, think on these things. Maureen's favorite passage. And the God of peace will be with you. See, whatever the content of our usual activities, we simply cannot remain spiritually strong without significant periods of restful change. That change may be, instead of reading Genesis, you read Matthew. Or instead of reading Psalms, you read one of the prophets. That's the kind of change that we're talking about, getting our mind focused, because the Bible is a pretty large document. 1,189 chapters, to be precise, and those chapters range from 2 verses all the way up to 176 verses. So not only for ourselves, but do we also appreciate the need for our brethren to take a break? Now, who would want to take a break from me? You probably ask yourself that. Now, say that yourself. Who would want to take a break from me? Well, that really depends on how you behave and how you act. Because there's some people we know are toxic and we just need to get away from them. Or wish they would leave sometimes. Yeah, so when you have house guests and you wish they would leave, here's the formula to fix that. You feed them chili. Chili for lunch. And chili for dinner. And the next morning, what kind of eggs do you want with your chili? I guarantee you they'll be gone before lunchtime. All right. Just remember that. Do not take this the wrong way, people. I know I've said some things, and I know some people are a little bit overly sensitive sometimes, whether it comes to weight and appearance or other things. Don't take it the wrong way. We're talking about a spiritual message here, and hopefully by combining these two, we can understand it. And let's not neglect to mention the importance of a healthy diet. Providing spiritual nourishment. That's what we need. We do not live by bread alone, but by the word of God. Matthew 4 and verse 4. And that's what we do. We have to have the word of God sustain us. And that's where we do it. The Lord's words are the words of life. We read that in John 6, 63 and verse 68. And John chapter 12 and verse 49. These are the words of life that he gives us. And that's what we need to feed upon. We know physically, we need to balance our diet out. If all you ever eat is popcorn and soda pop, okay, you're going to exist for a while. You're going to expand a whole bunch. But you're not going to live as long as someone who usually eats a healthy diet. We grow by virtue of the pure milk of the word. See, 1 Peter 2, 2 and 3. Long for the pure milk of the word, whereby ye may grow. That's what we need to do. The milk of the word are the scriptures. This is the milk that comes from God. And so we need to avoid that spiritual junk food. Just like, okay, God made our bodies. Yeah, we can eat candy bars. We can do this or that. But if you don't do the other things right, you're going to have problems. That's how I have diabetes. When I first had my heart problems, they said, no salt. Okay, pick up a package of candy, zero sodium, that's for me. But after time, that affected me as well. This junk food that's out there. And of course, there's a lot of junk food out there when you come to spiritual thinking. But the Bible refers to that which is sound doctrine, which basically, if you want to translate it another way, just say healthy teaching. That's what it is. Titus 2:1, hold to those things that are sound doctrine, as Paul told Titus there. There's also that which is the opposite of sound doctrine, which we are warned to avoid those things. Anything which teaches contrary to the blessed gospel, as we've been discussing about denominationalism, they teach things contrary to the true gospel. We need to avoid those things. See, this may appeal to those with itching ears. We read about there in 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 through 4. Yeah, some people don't like the truth. They don't want to hear the truth, so they'll find a preacher, tell them what they want to hear. And that's how most people operate. But health-giving nourishment involves both the assimilation of nutritious food and the avoidance of toxic substances. I rarely drink sodas anymore, and I feel better. And I always read a long time, this stuff's not good for you, drinking this is not good for you. it don't bother me none. Well, 20 years later, yeah, all of a sudden it does. And it can. See, the prescription for spiritual health is a simple one. A healthy diet, periodic rest, and regular exercise, which together builds a strong immune system. If we follow that prescription, our spiritual health and progress will be evident. As we read there in 1 Timothy 4:11 through 16. And saving not only ourselves, but blessing those around us as well. In other words, we infect them with good health. You go around happy, guess what? You're going to make other people happy. Here, try this sometime. You're in the store and you walk past someone, you smile at them. What's the reaction? They're going to smile back. We can infect others with happiness. And when we demonstrate joy in our hearts, we can affect others, that they can see that and they will want it as well. If we're not as spiritually healthy as we know we should be, then follow the great physician's prescription for spiritual health. That's where it is. We have the prescription laid out in front of us. As we open up the Word of God, we have that prescription. To be able to benefit from the Word of God means we have to apply what we learn from the Word of God into our lives. And to give ourselves and dedicate ourselves to the Lord is what He wants us to do. We do that because we believe the Lord is the Son of God and that He died on the cross for our sins. And we need to change our ways, change our way of thinking. We stop the sin in our lives, get rid of the sin in our lives, and start serving Him instead of ourselves. Confess His name before mankind. And then be baptized for the remission of your sin. That's the only way to have our sins taken away, is through baptism. And after that, it's a matter of living a spiritual life full of growth and growing in the grace and knowledge of God. Some of us have obeyed the gospel, but yet we have become spiritually inactive. And I'm encouraging you today, find out what you can do to get back on the right path of spiritual health. Consider those thoughts. We're going to sing our invitation song. If anyone needs to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.